Hi, everyone, and welcome into the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name's Joey Groh, and Andy Schmidt of Comics Experience, as well as upcoming DC comic release that you can talk about, and I'm sure many other things happening behind the scenes that you can't talk about and promote. But we're going to talk today, as it's in terms of the calendar year when we're recording this, 9 months into COVID-19 and things that we have learned in in the time of a pandemic from a creator, publishing, printing. I mean, pick an item, Andy. Human being, person.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. There's a lot to cover, right? COVID-19 has obviously impacted every aspect of comic creation. And I know, you know, Philip and I have been on the show before kind of talking about how it has impacted us. And while, you know, I've been writing a fair amount, both creator-owned and Generations Shattered and Generations Forged, which come out in January and February from DC Comics, which I did not write by myself. They're both 80-page giants. So I did not write 160 pages by myself. Dan Jurgens and Rob Vendetti are co-writers on those, and both those guys are awesome, phenomenal writers and murderers row of artists. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. First issue's on sale January 6th. But doing a project like that, which normally, you know, we would all fly or whatever and get together in a room with editorial, and this was a pretty big project, right? We'd plan it out, you know, with a beat sheet and everything, kind of, you know, that way. Instead, we're doing it all online. It's doable, but it's different and it's not the same. You know, there was some reinventing of the wheel type stuff going on, even for, you know, for a project like that, and on other projects as well, where I'm trying to figure things out and not being able to communicate the same, you know, the ways that we normally would is challenging. But as a whole, I mean, I think the industry, you know, along with the rest of the world, was rocked by COVID-19, and it's not really showing signs of abating. Obviously, there's some very promising news where vaccines are concerned, but, you know, at least here in the U.S., you know, cases are still rising. The death toll on a daily basis is still rising. I mean, this is bad. And I think as creators, you know, I think there are consequences that are fairly obvious. You know, when Diamond shut down for 3 months from, like, you know, March, April, May, you know, around there, obviously that everything ground to a halt. You know, I run a comics and graphic novel printing business called ONS Printing, and, you know, we had pallets in transit. We had pallets, you know, sitting on a dock, not being let in because the, you know, warehouse shut down, and now we had to put those back on a truck and they got to go somewhere. You know, there was all kinds of, like, logistical nightmares of just stuff that was in the works, that I think a lot of people, you know, just, yeah, I mean, just wouldn't think about that. Right. And that's true for the retailers too, because that whole shutting down happened quite suddenly for us. You know, from that Diamond perspective. So you had stores that were open expecting a shipment like a week out, and then that shipment never came. And then there's this backlog of, you know, okay, are we now just going to get 3 months of comics dumped on us in 1 week? And there's no way we can offload that. And then who's carrying that debt? And I mean, it just obviously across the board, it was tough for everybody. But one of the things that I think is maybe a little bit of a silver lining, especially in the regards of the comics market, the comics, you know, chain, is that I actually expected more retail locations to close permanently than I think did. You know, I don't have a clear number yet, but the impression I get from the retailers I know and, you know, from the people in the industry that I've been talking to is that it was not. You know, I mean, I was expecting it to be like half of them.
Right.
It does not look like it was even all that close to half of them, which is fairly impressive. I'm sure it was super painful. But one of the things that you know, I think retailers at times can get a little bit of a bad rap of being, you know, stuck in their ways or whatever. I mean, the old cliche is like it's a bunch of old guys in a room smoking, and they don't like kids, and they don't, you know,
right.
Like that kind of thing. I think that's, you know, for the most part, kind of a long gone sort of thing. But I did a lot of, we had a retailer relief program that we did. And I think we talked about that on this podcast, but yeah. And during that, you know, I got a chance to really speak at length with retailers all over the country, which was awesome. I mean, awesome to talk to them, not an awesome situation. And during that, you know, there was so much adaptation that the retailers were able to do. And it's not just the retailers, but like retailers, I think, get that bad rap of not being able to adapt. And it's clearly very much false. They adapted to online sales. They adapted to hosting live events where they're like auctioning stuff off, and they had giveaways, and they had all kinds of, you know, I mean, there was all kinds of crazy ways that they could keep, not crazy, clever, ways to keep their community, you know, whether that was just locally in their towns or cities or what have you, engaged, was really awesome. And, you know, you saw adaptation on the part of creators. You saw it on the part of publishers. One of the big things, I think, that, you know, the way that creators were impacted is, you know, it was kind of pencils down pretty much across the board for a while. And as a freelancer, I mean, you don't get paid for work you don't do.
Right.
You know, you're not in a case where it's like, okay, don't do anything, but your paycheck is still coming.
Right.
So a lot of you know, that hurt a lot of freelancers, and I think they've, you know, a lot of them found work elsewhere. A lot of them found ways to take that time to, you know, work on some creator-owned stuff or work on, you know, just keep working. They found ways to keep working, and that's part of being a freelancer, right? It's, you have to do that. In my own freelance writing, one of the reasons why I didn't just stick to into the comics industry, especially when it comes to writing and consulting, is because, hey, what if the comics industry shuts down? I want to be able to go out and find work writing video games and prose stories and working in Hollywood or whatever. So, you know, certainly I didn't predict this, but, you know, diversifying is part of what you do as a freelancer. And every freelancer, even the ones that you think of as like they write a lot of comics or they clearly only draw comics, they're doing other things, right? I mean, you know, the artists are doing, you know, a banner for an event and, you know, a poster for this thing and, you know, and all that kind of stuff too. I mean, you have to make sure that you're not tied to one stream of income as a freelancer. I think more and more that's true for people working at companies too. Like, I mean, not that if you're on staff somewhere, you're necessarily moonlighting doing something else, but, you know, I mean, it's another thing the pandemic taught us in general is that layoffs come for everyone at any time. It's just a harsh reality, you know, and I mean, that goes back to growing up too. Like I grew up, you know, my parents, were not thrilled with my career choices. Because, you know, they grew up at a different time. My mom's from Michigan. The car industry was rock solid when she was growing up, and you got a job at General Motors, and they took real good care of you. You did your whole career there. There was a great retirement package. You never had to worry about your health insurance. If your family got in some kind of trouble somehow, often the you know, the company would step in and help you out. And that, I don't think that exists anymore. I don't think there's any. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully there are companies that do still do that and value that loyalty and that kind of thing. But I don't know of many. Put it that way. I don't know of many. And so, I think all of that is just a lot of these things that were underneath the surface and starting to be talked about and whatever have just boiled up. But you know, in comics and in other industries, seeing how quickly people can adapt has been really interesting. And there are some notable places where they didn't seem to adapt, and that maybe not be working out for them right now. But I think that was sort of the big takeaway. But one of the things that, you know, the consequences that we're seeing now, you know, Diamond's back up and running, which is obviously a big deal in North America. But, you know, the title counts are lower. there is still some back catalog stuff that you know, got gummed up in the works and that's still coming out. And so there's still, you know, even though Diamond opened back up, what, 4 months ago now, 3 or 4 months ago now, there's not the demand for freelancers in comics that there was a year ago. It could be bouncing back. It may not be. Obviously, there's been a ton of changes going on at DC Comics. A whittling down of their editorial, you know, and those cuts weren't just at DC. They were at Warner Brothers. They were at HBO. They were all over, because AT&T owns Time, Warner, DC Comics, HBO, and those cuts are just coming everywhere. And they're cutting quite a lot. But that, again, that means you have fewer editors. And while you know, if one editor is leaving and they've got eight projects, those eight projects are going to fall onto other editors. And there is a point, and it comes pretty quick, where like you're just, you know, as an editor that is lucky enough to keep working there, you're like, I'm full. I don't have room for all these projects. And so those projects now start to get staggered out. They've been approved. They don't want to call up the creators and unapprove them, but they get pushed further out because we just can't. You just as the editor, you don't have the time to get to it and do it well and do it right. But that means that, you know, now that's in a slot 6 months out that would have been for a new project where I need to hire freelancers and that sort of thing. So a lot of that sort of thing, and that's not just DC. That's happening everywhere. They're the sort of burning hot spot that I think, you know, people are very aware of, kind of, you know, what's going on there. But that's happening all over the industry and in other industries as well, obviously. But that takes a toll on readers are likely having less content that they're picking up, and creators have less work, and, you know, it's the same batch of creators fighting for fewer slices of pie. And that's a tough spot to be in. You know, so those are sort of the consequences. But then those consequences have consequences. Right. And it's not just like, you know, like I was saying, that the adaptation, that's where the adaptation kicks in. Right. Because the freelancers aren't just throwing up their hands and being like, well, that's it. I'm going to get kicked out of my apartment. And that's that. They're taking the opportunities that this is creating. There's a hole in their schedule so they can pursue a dream project they want to do. Or they go, you know what, I've really wanted to break into video game writing. I'll go do that. Or I wanted to try my hand at storyboards. Is that, you know, is there still work going on there, and I can go draw storyboards? So that's, to me, that's the takeaways that I'm seeing like right now, is how clever people are at finding ways to make things work. And that includes publishers who have found ways to weather a storm. I mean, publishing is very much a cash flow business. And by that, I mean, you know, they're spending money to create content that then they have to print, distribute, you know, put together, print, distribute, then sales at the retail level, which then go back to the distributor, which then eventually their, you know, your cut comes back to you. So there's a very long lead time from when you're spending money on a project, even if that project is done. You've paid for the content. A, there are still more bills to pay, but B, you're still not seeing a dime return to you for, you know, it could be six more months. You know, it could be longer than that, maybe a little bit shorter sometimes. But yeah, there's this whole, you know, and then when that cash flow gets interrupted, a lot of publishers, a lot of retailers, you know, are not working with a lot of wiggle room in there. So if the cash coming in stops, they don't have the cash to go back out, right? So so that's, you know, obviously an issue, and a lot of publishers and clearly a lot of retailers have found ways to mitigate those circumstances and stay in business. Now, is 2020 going to be anybody's best year? I don't think that's very likely. But the fact that they're surviving and seemingly in many cases surviving decently is, I think, really impressive and heartening, and some good news amidst a year of mostly bad news.
Yeah, I think your point to thinking about different ways to diversify and where people have been able to pick up different kinds of work that might be in the same industry or in industries that are adjacent is a good way to go in general, but it's also hard, I know, for folks to f- fulfill a schedule in advance, and so much of comics is planning ahead and knowing what your schedule is going to be and what kind of time you have available, that you know, it's a tricky thing when all of a sudden the job market is flooded by a number of different people. And I think, you know, to your point about just generally what are you doing, and we touched on it a little bit last time Philip and I talked. You know, he had a situation where he had created a OGN a few years prior and was able to get that out, you know, to the tune of about 300 copies for folks to sell. And you know, it was a for him, you know, a lucky circumstance. It's not lucky, it was fortunate that he had that inventory that he could reach out and do that to. And you know, I've heard many people, at least in the production industry that I'm in, talk about making it sort of a buy year in the sense of, well, I got to brush up on my skills, I got to do other stuff. And I know that's also can be difficult for people to say, hey, I'm going to create a whole new pitch right now, I'm going to do a first issue of something, I'm going to do whatever, when you have everything else going on. But there are those situations where if you do have the means and motivation to create or to expand those skills and reach out and try to work in other industries, it seems like it's hard to call this a wake-up call. You know, it was a necessary shift for so many people to find different means of income or different ways to sustain based on just the the conditions that people found themselves in.
Yeah, and I think you know, I mean, look, this was a brutal year for just about everybody, right? I don't think I've ever had as many projects that either were, you know, basically greenlit, very close to being greenlit, that just like in a day, it's like, okay, those are all off the table. And not because you screwed it up, but just like nope, this is where we are. This is the state of the world. The world just conspired to more or less, you know, cancel your projects. You know, I had a lot of work lined up or lining up, you know, that's now kind of not. I mean, it's just kind of not there. I mean, the resources aren't there now to do it. And again, you know, I had the most pleasant phone calls of we're not doing that project, you know. And on the one hand, it's great to know that the reason that they're not doing it isn't that you screwed up. The reason they're not doing it doesn't have anything to do with you. On the other hand, that's terrible because you put a ton of work into it and it did work, and that's very unfair. You get bent out of shape. But then, you know, that happened in comics for me. That happened in the video game industry for me, and it happened in you know, with an LA project too as well. And you know, that's a lot, you know, when you're sitting there going like, okay, maybe, you know, these are all pretty far along. They all look likely to go through. You know, I assume, you know, one, maybe two of them, for whatever reason, won't fully go through or won't go through at all. And but, you know, I certainly didn't expect all of them to fall off within like 3 weeks.
Just one after another.
Right. But, you know, and I am fortunate in that I have other skills. I have other ways that I can make money. You know, the printing business shut down completely for 3 months. But you're right. I mean, I took some of that time as an opportunity to reevaluate some things, to learn some new skills, and I'm kind of determined to continue that. I mean, there's aspects of you know, the comics industry, along with all entertainment industry, just keeps changing, and not just because of COVID. That's, you know, obviously a giant thing that changed faster, but you know, you have to keep up with these skills and the new tools and you know, the changing faces too, frankly. And it's yeah, I don't know. It's weird because here we are, you know, close to the end of 2020, and I have a sense of optimism, you know, for the industry that wasn't there 3 months ago. You know, I really felt like, man, this really could be such a game changer. You know, I never was one of the sky is falling people that like this is the end of comics, right? I've never been that, because comics as a medium is going to exist. Comics will shift and they will change, and how they're distributed might change, and how they're, you know, who's reading them has definitely changed. But I never got to the point where you know, I did rather get to the point where I was like, this kind of might be it for the comics that I grew up on, the types of comics that I grew up on. And I don't really feel that that's the case. And if that is the case, like that's okay. Like, I mean, a part of me would be a little bit sad if, you know, there's, you know, no more Spider-Man or Justice League or whatever comics coming out every month, but things change and things shift, and comics, you know, that I was reading when I was 13, they don't need to be for me now that I'm in my 40s, right? You know, they can be for 13-year-olds again, and that's all right. That's, you know, may even be for the best. Probably is. You know, so there's a lot of things that, like, I think maybe would have upset me a decade ago or two decades ago, but really won't upset me if they were to happen now, because what I'm seeing is, you know, the middle grade graphic novels and things like that are just booming. And I wasn't reading, you know, I probably never would have seen Smile when I was a kid. But man, that's a great book. It's a great book. And tons of kids are reading it. And it's not all kids of one type anymore. You know, it used to just be like sort of the superhero kids like me. So I think there's a lot to be optimistic about for the medium. The industry is going to go through some hard changes, which is going to create winners and losers. Not to put too fine a point on it, and not loser like you're a loser, obviously, but losers like there will be people that lose their jobs, and those will be real people, or they're going to find themselves out of favor at you know, companies now. And then there will be other people that will find themselves suddenly in favor and will get hired because they've got a you know, a slightly different skill set that's needed now. And I, you know, that's always nerve-wracking and scary, even if you're somebody that feels fairly confident that you'd be part of the people sticking around. It's still nerve-wracking and scary and that, but I'm finding more and more reason to be optimistic for the medium.
I think that is not a bad way to look into 2021. I know calendar years are calendar years. It might be the end of your financial year, might not be, depending on your financial schedule. But I think having optimism and, you know, eyes open moving forward is pretty much the only way to go. You know, being a small business owner, I think lessons learned over time is a lot of trying to look ahead and remain optimistic, but also being realistic about where things are and what they are. And, you know, when, like you were talking about with jobs, until the money's in the bank, it's not happening. That's just the nature of a couple of decades into this now. It just became that thing. And I think, you know, any kind of creative industry can go through those ups and downs, but to have so many different industries be impacted at once I'll be curious what the hindsight will be. No 2020 puns, to be able to look back and see where things are, and not just comics, but in general, but just to see where comics land. Well, we have one more show before the end of the year. If you have a question you'd like to hear talked about on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can tweet at us, or tweet at Andy on Comic Experience. You can also Facebook message. We've had those before. And yeah, beyond that, any other thoughts, Andy, related to changes? I know we didn't really get into printing a ton or the publishing end a ton, just sort of generally. I don't know if you had anything with either of those specifically.
No, I mean, I think we got into those, you know, kind of big picture, and you know, in future episodes, I think we can drill down a little bit more if folks are interested. But please do, you know, write in or tweet at us and let us know, you know, what you are interested in going to. Joey and I have been talking a fair amount lately, and you know, I'll be coming back, I think, onto the podcast a lot more regularly, and I don't mind doing a little research. So if there's a question we have in advance, you know, I can sort of look into it and see what I can find out. And I think too, we're gonna get back into a little bit more craft discussions coming up in 2021 as well, which I think is always fun and people like.
Yeah, and you can head over to comicsexperience.com and check out what's going on as far as new classes. We talked a little bit more in depth about that last episode, and the forum is always online 24/7, so you can always hop in.
Yeah, and under the free resources on the website, there's a big long back catalog of podcast episodes. So if you're new to the podcast, you can go back there, and it goes all the way back to like episode 51, I think.
I think that is correct. So lots of different ways you can if you have any downtime coming up on in a year of, was it all downtime? No, none of it was downtime. You can go and get your comics on in a different way and how you make comics. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. Until next time, keep making comics.